Welcome to day 101 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're continuing our discussion of the Communion of Saints in Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 26, today, Section 2. Saints by profession are bound to maintain an holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification, as also in relieving each other in outward things, according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offers opportunity, is to be extended unto all those who, in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, the first phrase, saints by profession are bound to maintain an holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Isaiah 2:3. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And 1 Corinthians 11:20. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. Second phrase, also in relieving each other in outward things according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offers opportunity, is to be extended unto all those who, in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We're directed by the Catechism to look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the whole chapters, and you can do that in your spare time. We'll go to Acts 11:29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, the reason why I placed the communion of saints right after the Lord's Supper, although that's not the order in the Confession of Faith, is because I think this idea of are relieving each other in outward things according to several abilities and necessities is mainly the whole, actually, of what Paul says when he says we need to examine ourselves and discern the Lord's body. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he's talking about a meal where some are getting drunk and others are walking away hungry. And when he says about those who are not discerning the Lord's body, he's talking about those who are not discerning the needs of the members of the body of Christ. It's not a theological thing. It has to do with this element of the communion of saints, of relieving each other in outward things, and having compassion for the needy among us. Section 3 of Chapter 26 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. This communion with the saints, which the saints have with Christ, does not make them in any wise partakers of the substance of his Godhead, or to be equal with Christ in any respect, either of which to affirm is impious and blasphemous. Nor does their communion one with another, as saints, take away or infringe the title or propriety which each man has in his goods and possessions. Okay, the first phrase, the communion which saints have with Christ does not make them in any wise partakers of the substance of his Godhead or to be equal with Christ in any respect, either of which to affirm is impious, some say impious, or blasphemous. For Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Psalm 45:7, Thou lovest righteousness, thou hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Compared with Hebrews 1:8, But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, in the previous section, we talked about compassion and relieving the material needs of others. However, the second section of section 3 says, the communion one with another as saints does not take away or infringe the title or propriety which each man has in his goods and possessions. In other words, it doesn't eliminate the doctrine of private property. Exodus 20:15, Thou shalt not steal. Ephesians 4:28, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Acts 5:4, Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast lied not unto men, but unto God. To the Westminster Larger Catechism we go now, question 69. What is the communion in grace which the members of the invisible church have with Christ? Answer, the communion in grace which the members of the invisible church have with Christ is their partaking of the virtue of his mediation in their justification, adoption, sanctification, and whatever else in this life manifests their union with him. Okay, they partake of the virtue of his mediation in their justification, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. They partake of the virtue of his mediation in their adoption, Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And they partake of the virtue of his mediation in their sanctification and whatever else in this life manifests their union with him, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 82. What is the communion in glory which the members of the invisible church have with Christ? Answer, the communion in glory which the members of the invisible church have with Christ is in this life, immediately after death, and at last perfected at the resurrection and day of judgment. So in question 69, we talked about the communion in grace, and now in question 82, we talk about the communion in glory. The communion glory which we have is in this life, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The communion in glory is also immediately after death, Luke 23:43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the communion in glory which we have is seen at last perfected, at the resurrection and day of judgment. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now finally, Westminster Larger Catechism, question 83. What is the communion in glory which with Christ which the members of the invisible church enjoy in this life? Answer, the members of the invisible church have communicated to them in this life the first fruits of glory with Christ, as they are members of him, their head, and so in him are interested in that glory which he is fully possessed of, and, as an earnest thereof, enjoy the sense of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, and hope of glory, as, on the contrary, sense of God's revenging wrath, horror of conscience, and a fearful expectation of judgment are, to the wicked, the beginning of their torments which they shall endure after death. Okay, the first phrase, the members of the invisible church, that's those who have been effectually called, have communicated to them in this life the first fruits of glory with Christ, as they are members of him, their head, and so in him are interested in that glory which he is fully possessed of. interested, meaning again, not just merely curious, but having a legal right to, like a vested interest. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And, as an earnest thereof, the members of the invisible church enjoy the sense of God's love, Romans 5, 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Compared with 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We enjoy peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, and hope of glory. Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not just meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. As on the contrary, sense of God's revenging wrath, horror of conscience, and fearful expectation of judgment are to the wicked the beginning of their torments, which they shall endure after death. Genesis 4, 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Matthew 27, 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Hebrews 10, 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Romans 2, 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Mark 9, 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And that concludes our study of the Communion of Saints, which concludes our study of the Lord's Supper, which concludes our study of the sacraments, which concludes our study of the doctrine of true worship, religious worship, which concludes our study of the Second Commandment. And we'll be back again tomorrow, day 102.